Ain't no one like you all, I can promise you that. That is just powerful. So, we are going to have so much fun today. Let me just tell you. We are going to have some fun, and it's just going to be, it's going to be really, really something today. And those of you who grew up in a certain time might remember that according to a group called Three Dog Night, Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a very good friend of mine. Never understood a single word he said. Well, we should probably not talk about the wine. We're in church, you know. We use grape juice, but all right. But now, according to the Bible, Jeremiah is a prophet. And the people could understand what Jeremiah was telling them. But they didn't want to hear what he was telling them, because he was telling them from another song, from another group called Santana. He was telling them, you've got to change your evil ways. And they didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to know that. They didn't want to know that they were supposed to repent. They didn't want to know that they had to change. I don't want to hear this. I had a great-grandfather. This is when hearing aids were first coming out. And you kept them in the front pocket as a big box, and would put it in your front pocket, and then the devices would go up into your ears. And when my grandfather was caring for him and would have to tell him stuff that he didn't want to hear, he'd say, Dale, I'm just not going to listen to it. And he'd turn it off. He was stone deaf. He couldn't hear a thing, you know. And that's where the people were. They were just like, I'm not going to hear this. I'm not going to. That's what denial is. A bunch of people sitting in hell saying, it's not hot and I'm not here. That's where they go. But Jeremiah, my gosh, not only was Jeremiah a prophet, Jeremiah was a drama king. All right? He whined a lot. He complained a lot because the people weren't listening to him. God, they won't listen. God, how come they're like that? God, you're just going on and on and on. But he was great at object lessons. He was always giving visual aids with his messages. Remember in Jeremiah chapter 13, the underwear story? Remember that? When God called Jeremiah and says, hey, I want you to go get yourself some nice, fresh linen loincloth. It'd be like today, I don't know, like silk boxers or something, you know? And so Jeremiah does, and he puts them on, and God says, how do they feel? And he goes, oh, these feel nice. I like these. These are really comfortable, very nice. And then God says, take them off, go to the river Euphrates, bury them in the rocks where they're nice, some place that's wet. So Jeremiah does that. And then a few months later, remember the story? And then a few months later, God says, hey, Jeremiah, let's go back and look at them boxers. So Jeremiah goes back, goes to the river, goes to where the rocks are, and he pulls out the boxers. And as you can imagine, they are ruined. There's holes in them. They're wet. They got creepy crawlies all inside of them. And God says, Jeremiah, put them on. And Jeremiah says exactly what we all would say. I don't think so. No, no, those things aren't touching me. And that's what, and then God says, that's exactly the point. Asking me to be in a relationship with a bunch of sinful people is asking me to put on silky underwear that are filled with creepy crawlies and have holes in them. And so Jeremiah would go out. This is what he would do. And he would say, so people, repent, repent, repent. And of course, they didn't. But he continued to try that message. So I'm taking a page out of Jeremiah's book, and I am now going to hand out object lessons for you all. Isn't that nice? So, but it won't be underwear. Instead, I have asked for some deacons and elders to assist. And each of you are, there's enough for everyone, for each of you to be able to have one. And it is, instead, it is Play-Doh. Remember Play-Doh? Remember that? Yeah, so each of you are going to get some Play-Doh, the little containers, okay? Obviously to remind us that God shapes us and reshapes us and molds us into what he calls us to be. That was the passage that Cherie read for us. The potter, the potter's hands, that God is forming us, making us. Did you get one? Okay, just wanted to make sure. That God is forming us and shaping us to recognize that sometimes we need to change. Have you ever noticed that sometimes we kind of get distracted and we can't, you can just keep them up there. And then we can get distracted and miss our destination, because the destination is the kingdom of God. But sometimes we have to change our direction in order to get to that destination. And that's what God tries to do. He shapes us. He reforms us. He remakes us so that we can better be the vessel in the image that God created us to be in the first place. And God wants to redeem us. God does not want to exchange us. He doesn't want to trade us in. He wants to work through us in a way that allows us to better reflect His image and who He is. And God can't work in us or through us or with us if we're not willing to work with God, to cooperate with God, to be available to God, to let God work on us. Too many times we get ourselves all wrapped up and we want to be in control. And that's not the way it works. God's the one in control. We're the clay, God's the potter. And kind of like Cherie's invocation today, you know, we have to let go. We have to let God. We have to trust in God and God's design and God's image for us, and to be able to trust that. We keep trying to be in control and it doesn't work. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 1, the creation story? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let there, you know, and on and on and on. All through chapter 1, God speaks, and it is so. But when you get into chapter 2, and you get in the creation story there, remember that when He makes Adam, when He makes man? Remember? What does God do? He molds it. He forms it with His hands. The only creature in the Bible made with God's hands are humans. The only ones. Remember last week we talked about Jeremiah, and God says, I formed you. I made you. And after He forms us, what does He do? He breathes His Spirit into us. We are a vessel carrying the breath of God. You read the Bible over and over again. We're the only creature in the entire planet, handmade by God, God's Spirit breathed into us, that we may remember with every breath we take, we belong to God. God resides in us, and God powers us. Not only for strength, but God empowers us with love and grace. And when we mess up, and we do, God reworks us. God remakes us. God, again, the potter at the wheel. There is always hope. That's the whole point. There's always an opportunity. Anytime you're that lump of clay and the potter is working on you, it's another opportunity for us to better become who it is that God called us to be. God is never going to give up. God is never going to say, oh, you're worthless. I'm tired of working on it. No. God's like, okay, we're going to try this again. We're going to try this again. We're going to try this again. God never, ever quits. He's always, always willing to work on us. That's the whole point. The whole message, Christian message, is one of hope. That God never quits. And in Jesus Christ, we see the redemptive power of God at work. God sends His Son to tell us, look, you're not lost. You're my child. And all we need to do is remake this part. All we need to do is remember who you are. All we need to do is remember that perhaps God is in control. God is centering us. God is shaping us. God is working through us. And we trust our misshapen lives to God's power of forgiveness and to God's power of grace. And as we know, God has not only us in His hands, God's got the whole world in His hands. Remember that song? He's got the whole world in His hands. Have you seen the world? You don't even need to watch the news to know it's messed up. It is one messed up place. And God is saying, that's why I'm shaping you. That's why I am remaking you. the planet has lost its design. I had a design. I have an intention for creation, and we are far afield from where we should be. And I am calling on you to be the tools of my grace, tools of my love, tools that I can call on you to help remake the world in a better image. You are the tools for love and grace, for reminding people that the purpose of creation was always to be community and diversity working together as one. And the only way the world gets that message is if we begin to reflect that message, if we give witness to that message, if we're able to share the words of God's love and God's hope and God's grace. Because the world's gotten off the mark. And the only way it gets back on is by us giving that witness, giving the peace and justice and love and grace, community, diversity. I was starting this sermon with some songs that we don't sing in church. Three Dog Night, Santana, stuff like that. But there are some songs that we sing in church that do remind us of how God works in our lives. Change My Heart, O God. Remember how that one works? A quiet little song. In just a few minutes, we're going to sing one called Have Thine Own Way, Lord, which it talks about God being the potter, we're the clay. In this season right now, every Sunday, we're singing Spirit of the Living God. Fall afresh on me, melt me, mold me, make me, fill me, use me. That's what we do as Christians, as disciples. That's who we are. There's another song, I'm not going to sing it, but I want to read you the words. You've heard it before, reminding us the truth of God's power and of God's grace. While it was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer felt it was hardly worth his while to waste much time on this old violin, but he held it up with a smile. Well, it sure ain't much, but it's all we got left. I guess we ought to sell it too. So who'll start the bid on this old violin? Just one more and we'll be through. And he cried out, one, give me $1. Who'll make it two? Only $2, who'll make it three? $3 twice. Now that's a good price. Now who's going to bid for me? Raise up your hand now. Don't wait any longer. The auction's about to end. Who's got four, just $1 more, to bid on this old violin? Well, the air was hot and the people stood around as the sun was getting low. And from the back of the crowd, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. He wiped the dust from the old violin and he tightened up the strings. Then he played a melody, pure and sweet as the angels sing. And then the music stopped and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, now what am I bid for this old violin? And he held it up with a bow. And he cried out, one, give me 1,000. Who'll make it two? 2,000, now who'll make it three? 3,000 twice. Well, you know that's a good price. Who's going to bid for me? And the people cried out, what made the change? We don't understand. And the auctioneer stopped and he said with a smile, it was the touch of the Master's hand. You know, there's many of us with our life out of tune, battered and scarred with sin. We're auctioned off cheap to a thankless world, much like that old violin. And then the Master comes and he picks us up. And though the world may not understand, but the Master knows the change that is wrought by the touch of the potter's hand. We don't grow in faith by trying harder. We grow in faith by submitting ourselves to God, allowing God's love and grace to work in our lives. Not by telling God that we're not worthy, but telling God we are His. Remembering our identity and letting God work through us, not just for our own health, but for the health of family and friends and the world. The message isn't something we keep in our pockets. The message is something we share. God's love, God's grace is alive and well for everyone who will simply submit and say, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am." Amen.